Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and messages.
And Tom Lowe.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. I'm your host, Tone Loke. Isn't that what he said?
Is it?
Let's do this.
Is it Loke or Locke?
He's saying, I don't know. And then he sang that Chaka Khan song. We are your source of all things musical in the 80s. Hoping you'll send emails to idea@wretched.org. Can I tell you what I'm a little bit addicted to on the YouTube machine?
What's that?
There are these men and women who are really musically gifted. And they all they do these videos where they sit and talk about a song that we are all familiar with. And they talk about it musically. And I always just marvel at it. There's this one guy, he'll listen to a song for the first time, and within seconds, he's on his piano playing along with it. I just so admire that skill. Okay, I covet it. I'm downright sinfully desiring those skills. But I can't take my eyes off of that thing. I'll tell you something else I watched on the broadcast machine thing that we've got in our house. A show called Minimalist, or Minimalism. Do you remember, not that long ago maybe, but a number of times we've talked about the small house or the tiny house movement. Mm-hmm. And you can live in whatever number of square footage feet you want to, but be careful that you don't get swept up into the movement because it's an ideology. It has a worldview behind it. It's a religion. This is a movie that was made on whatever it was, Netflix or Amazon, whatever, Roku, Hulu. Two guys, their campaign in life now is to persuade everybody else to live in a house with a chair and a stick for the kids to play with. That's it. Because it's not going to make you happy to pursue all these other things. We did that. We were suits and we weren't happy. Now, we don't even own two shirts and we're really happy. I doubt it. Because you can change your externals. It never fixes the heart. And it just reminded me, be careful. When something is a trend, it always has a worldview behind it. And this movie, which I couldn't stand watching, it was just insufferable because there was no point to it. The whole message was, you've got a lot of stuff, don't you? It's controlling your life. Get rid of all your stuff and you'll be happy. Why? Why? How? What's the mechanism? What is this? Just don't have to manage as much stuff or think as hard or be as engaged in what's going on in the world. They just never explained it. There's always a worldview behind a movement. And this minimalist, small house, tiny house, move into the wilderness movement, it ain't biblical. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, we're going to start off with Lily. She has a question that I found interesting. She says, Todd, should a wife or husband change their appearance at any cost because their partner is particularly fond of a certain asset? She's talking about plastic surgery.
Okay,
yeah.
Because it depends on what asset we're describing here. Because if Mrs. Friel saw me putting something on in the morning and went, well, that's interesting. I'm not going to don it that day. Because I want to accommodate my wife. If I come home from the barber and she looks at it and goes, what happened? Where was there a fight? Did the guy just break up with his girlfriend? Why does your head look like that? Okay, I'm going to make sure that I don't go back to that barber because I want to accommodate my spouse. Or I come home and I'm thinking, yeah, this mullet is styling. And she says, no, Billy Ray, it's not. I cut it because I accommodate those things. That's what we do for one another. But there is a line. And the reason that there is a line in asking our spouses to change their appearance in some way is because of the Bible's definition of a couple of subjects starting with beauty. What is it? Do you have a beautiful wife? I'm letting everybody think that through. Do you have a beautiful, and what makes your, okay, Jimmy, then, okay, I wasn't staring at you, but you will now represent the tens and tens of people watching.
Okay.
What makes Melissa beautiful?
Her personality.
Okay.
No, I mean.
Well, no, it's the inner stuff. She's a believer. She's godly. Yeah. There's things, I know she's a hard worker. She's a good mom. She takes care of your home. Okay. What does that have to do with dress size? But the world says, oh, you got to have these numbers on your figure. But did you know, Jimmy, that not only do they have a size zero, zero can't be a size. They have a size zero. They have like 0B, like less than zero.
That's, like negatives?
You can't have that.
That's weird.
Then you don't have any clothes. You can't have a zero. Size has got to be at least a one. And the world, they continue to say, it's got to look like this, got to look like this, got to look like this. And we hear that message and we imbibe it. And we start to judge our spouses or our kids based on externals. And that is not what Peter says is pleasing to God. Think of this in the context of marriage. When Peter said, don't worry about the mere externals. He didn't say abandon them. He said, no, that's not it. God is looking at the gentle heart of a woman that is beautiful to him. Why do we put so much emphasis on externals? Now, let's be clear. There's nothing wrong with external considerations, and there's nothing wrong with external attractions. And I will also slip this in as an aside. I recognize that bodies change over the decades, and we should not expect our 50-year-old spouse to look like our 20-year-old spouse. But I do believe that each spouse should make a reasonable effort at maintaining what it is the other person said I do to. Not getting carried away, but recognizing gravity continues to work perpetually. Nevertheless, we try to be pleasing in our appearance for our spouses. That's not in and of itself sinful. It is when we adopt the world's definition of beauty and we insist on it. And I don't find you attractive unless you get this done. If a man is asking his wife to alter her body so that she is more externally pleasing, I would say that is the line because it violates what the definition of beauty is. It also is, I think, a rudimentary failure to understand what marriage is and what intimacy is about and what attraction is about. We've got to realign our brain with God's rather than, yeah, she's pretty. How's about her character is staggering. That should also be attractive to us. And I mean that in every way. I mean that in every way. I know, fellas, we're visually focused. We like that. It fires things in our brains. I get that. But that isn't the thing that should make us the most interested in our spouse. It should be the internal things. So, yep, you can ask your spouse to change some externals, but you can't ask them to change their body because you're not excited about a particular part, or if you just look like somebody else. Why do we want our wives to look like somebody else? It's just not the emphasis.
Well, and I think that also says to a degree that God makes mistakes.
I get that, but I'm not sure that's a perfect rule. Okay. And here's why. Just saw a girl without a left ear. She did not. She was born without a left ear. Would you want that girl to get cosmetic surgery to fix her ear?
Well, sure.
Yeah. But then I would say, well, do you think God makes mistakes? And you go, well, no, it's kind of...
It's the motivation.
Yeah. So that I think is really key. But I get the import of, does God make mistakes? Look, my schnoz, if it rains, a village of people could stand underneath it and stay dry. But this is the way that God made it. Now, if I vainly desire to have a nose that looks like a model, then my motivation is wrong. But if my kid needs braces, I'm probably going to put them on their teeth because it's kind of different. It's not saying God made a mistake. So I think each one of those things needs to be kind of worked through somewhat carefully.
Yeah.
But I think when you ask your wife, get that silicone thing done. And it's not because we can't avail ourselves of cosmetic surgery if you choose to. There's people who get into accidents, cosmetic surgery. We wouldn't deny that. So I think motivation is the big thing, and determining if it violates a biblical principle or ideal. What do you think of that, Jimmy?
I agree.
Yeah, would you get your kids braces if they have crooked teeth?
Oh, yeah. My oldest has already had braces.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say that God made a mistake with his teeth.
No. But
there's a difference between that and getting a proboscis ism, whatever you call getting your nose fixed. I think there's a difference. And what makes it a difference? Motivation, yes. But also, is this violating an interest that God has? And if it does, then that would be the line that we just don't want to cross. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. You can always disagree if you'd like to. idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Here are three words that can strike terror in the heart of any Christian. Open Enrollment Month, the three words that can make you shudder if you have to renew or find a new health insurance program. Did you know every month is an Open Enrollment Month with MediShare? Affordable biblical health care sharing, a huge savings per family, on average $500 per month. You have access to a massive doctor network and MediShare's free 24/7 telehealth option. It shouldn't be a surprise that MediShare's double the customer satisfaction ratings compared with typical health insurance. So instead of experiencing the terrors this year, how's about getting in touch with MediShare? You can do that by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE, or visit MediShare.com/wretched.
2021 has been the best yet at Wretched, and I'm not sure I have enough time to even cover it all, but let's try. This year we rolled out a new curriculum of Wretched Bible Studies. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 was released. Wretched Worldview hit the streets. Tom Hammond's newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle, became available, and Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth was released. And that's just our big resource releases this year. We can't forget about our big move over the summer or the fact that as of today, Wretched Radio can be heard on over 800 radio stations worldwide. Wretched TV can be found on over 135 Christian networks, our YouTube channel, almost 4 million hours watched this year alone, and none of this would be possible without our gospel partners. During this year-end season, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? 2022 promises to be our best yet with our new documentary series, Transformed, set to be released, highlighting the life-changing power of biblical counseling. So visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321 to become a gospel partner today.
You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds. But because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we go a little something like this.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza.
I kind of blew
featuring
it.
Your voice.
Nah! I have no employable skills. This is Wretched Radio. I'm your host, Tone Loke. Let's do the mailbag. Send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, out of the tens and tens of people list, that thing has 23 million views. Funky Cold Medina.
That's it.
By the Tone Loke fellow. How many people recognize Tone Loke these days?
Probably not many.
I'm guessing that was a dated reference, just the same.
And we go a little something like this.
idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, before you get to the mailbag, I've got to share a good news story that's kind of exciting.
Okay.
I have a tendency, maybe you do too, my world is the most important world that exists. And my church is the only church that I can be a little bit myopic. And I can see what's going on around me. And I can look around my community and go, whew, a lot of church buildings, just not a lot of good churches. This story will remind you that Jesus is building his church, and this will encourage you that he is marching, he is building, he is growing, and he's doing it internationally. I was talking to the folks at TMAI, and they sent me an email with statistics. Currently, they have 17 mini-seminaries. The Master's Academy International, men from overseas come to Los Angeles. They get trained at the Master's Seminary. Then they go back to their native nation. And they set up little mini seminaries, and they instruct indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. It's far-reaching. It's legacy. It will continue after we have all been dead for a long time, because it's a strengthening and building of local churches through the preaching of the word. So right now they've got 17 countries where they have mini seminaries. By the year 2031, they anticipate 50. Countries. 50 countries. That is not a program. That is a movement. That is a juggernaut. That's a game changer. Would encourage you to please consider supporting them in their effort to build 50 mini seminaries around the globe. Did I mention 50?
That's a lot.
That's a big deal. Look, there's nothing wrong with you doing an act of charity. We should all be doing those things. That's good. But this is a bigger, longer, far-reaching concept. Learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. Jimmy?
Yes?
You got to hold on a second. I got to recue my sound effect.
Okay. And we go a little something like this.
idea@wretched.org. I'm terrible at this.
I'm going to put that on a button
I
for
am
you.
You do this. You did for 20 years. You were pushing buttons and you were mixing.
Yeah.
Did you used to have cartridges?
No. Well,
you were past that?
We still had them because of the age of my station. But
that wasn't the standard?
Right, right.
But you push buttons and you time it and you slide the thing. I don't want to get all technical with you, but you make it all work. I can't push a button at the right time to save my life. idea@wretched.org.
Tyler wants to know, Todd, do you ever...
And we go a little something like this.
Do you ever say context without saying context first and then following it up with context?
No. Because that's not the way we say it in a hermeneutics. You read any hermeneutics book you want. Watch any video, preferably Herman Who, available at wretched.org to learn biblical hermeneutics. And they will have a sentence that basically says, rule number one of interpreting the Bible rightly is... And sometimes it's all capped. Context, context, context. They want to emphasize it threefold-like because it's so crucial when it comes to interpreting the Bible. If you are ever confronted with a question about the Bible, somebody goes, well, what's up with that Bible verse right there? Don't be afraid. Just say, I'm happy to answer that verse, but let's get a little context. Read a paragraph or two before it, read a paragraph or two after it, and most likely the context will tell you exactly what is going on in that verse. So to answer your question, sir, no. I don't. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, this one comes from Steve, and he said, Todd, I need your help with this question. Given that Jesus is both fully God and fully man, and given that as God, he's immutable, in what sense was Jesus fully human before his incarnation?
He wasn't. That's what incarnation is. He took on flesh, and it doesn't change his nature. It doesn't change what he consists. It doesn't change an attribute. He took on human flesh to dwell among us. And I think we would do well to remember the importance of that. Just wrote an article about, if you get our newsletter, if you don't, go to wretched.org. We send out a monthly newsletter. We try to make it informative. You can be the judge of that. But talked about the importance of getting the humanity of Christ right. The early church, yep, they battled a bit with the deity of Christ, but that was after they wrangled through the humanity of Christ. They just couldn't grasp, why would God become flesh? It can't be. It can't work. So, for instance, docetism, the word dekeo, it means to seem or to appear. Jesus appeared to be a human, but he wasn't. He seemed to be like you and me, but he wasn't. Well, that was deemed a heresy. And then Apollinaris came along and he concocted another Christological heresy about the humanity of Jesus Christ. That there's no way that the divine nature and the human nature could mix, because that would make the divine nature sinful. And to that I say, yeah, you're right. But that's not the way the hypostatic union works. 100% God, 100% man. Two, one. But not mixing, not mingling of natures. Separate. So the divine wasn't tainted by the human, and Jesus wasn't tainted anyway, but couldn't be tainted by the human, and the human didn't become a Superman. Two natures. That was the resolution of the early church, and we would do well to remember that. If you get the newsletter, it'll explain why. And I'm not going to tell you, but let's just say it has something to do with away in a manger. That's all I'm saying. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Anonymous, who wants to know if desiring wealth and prosperity dishonors God.
Mm. Words have meanings. Mm. All right, words have meanings. So is it wrong for, say, a pastor to desire money coming into the church? Well, it depends. Why? If his motive is, because then my salary's going to go up and I'm going to be rich, because that's how covetous people talk, just like that. But it could be that he just wants the church to be healthy. They want to do more outreaches, more services for people. There's nothing wrong with that. So it depends on your motivation. And I would say this, when you talk, use words like prosperity, it has such a taint to it. It infers kind of a greedy, covetous sort of desire for lucre. So rightly understanding it, yes, we can be motivated. You can be motivated to make more money. You can be motivated to go back to school to get the degree or the skills so that you can make more money. Nothing wrong with that unless you do it with the wrong motivation. Cults don't get this. False systems don't understand. They don't have that balanced view of money. We should. idea@wretched.org.
And Ryan wants to know if you can help him with understanding what the unpardonable sin the Bible speaks of.
Yes and no, because there is not a particular sin, but there is a sin that leads to death. What is it? What's the sin that James has in view? And the answer is, don't know, because it isn't defined for us. But it seems that what he was trying to share with us is that if you're an unbeliever and you are aware of the truth that Jesus Christ is the God-man who died for sinners, you reject it, and in the meantime, you're sinning. God could get to the point where he goes, done, and he could take your life, or he could let you live, but you will have no further chance to respond to the good news of the gospel. He can cut you off. There are no venial sins, mortal sins, some that damn, some that don't. All sins damn, because all sin is worthy of that payment. But unlike the Roman Catholic Church, which has come up with this class versus that class, and we recognize there are degrees of sins, they've got that system set up for another reason, so that you have to keep going to the church, through the church, doing stuff, giving things, participating in ceremonies in order to get forgiven. But we see sins, yeah, different degrees of them, but all of them are horrible. All of them are damnable. And the Bible simply doesn't list for us which one of the particular sins is the one where God goes, that's it. That's it. You looked at porn, gonna take you out. It isn't that. It's at God's discretion. It's God's decision. It can be a dead man walking. It can be a human being. He can be the captain of an industry. But God has determined, I'm done with you. Your time of grace to respond to the general call of the gospel, it is past, because I've had it up to here with your sinning. But it's not a particular sin that will get you damned. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched.
And go a little something like this.
Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, earlier today, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered another victory for the state of Texas when it declined to overturn the state's heartbeat abortion ban and allow the law to continue saving lives. Experts estimate the law has saved between 75 and 100 babies from murder per day since it went into effect on September 1st. About a dozen other states have heartbeat laws, but Texas is the first to be allowed to enforce the law. Well, you want to hear a really neat headline? Ontario Union votes 2 extra days off for black employees only. Yep, that's an actual thing that just took place, and the reason being given is even more clever. It's so that black employees can have additional time to deal with racism. I mean, look, I can have this all wrong, but treating one group of people differently based on nothing but the color of their skin, that's the very definition of racism, isn't it? Okay, so how about a flyby statement with not very much discussion, no detail other than the statement itself? Only 18% of U.S. households are families with married parents, and that's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And really, really smart people are continuously attempting to explain that all of the issues in America come from other sources, and I would argue that most of them can be traced right back to this. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit has ruled that the University of Iowa must pay nearly $2 million in legal fees after they lost a religious freedom battle against 2 Christian organizations. Those organizations, the university attempted to deregister on its campus because they were Christian groups and they required their members to be Christians. Imagine that. That's apparently a problem for the university. And in totally unrelated news, beginning next year, swimmers, golfers, and tennis players will all be allowed to join the University of Iowa's football team because allowing only football players to play on the football team would be discrimination. You know, according to the University of Iowa's standards. A federal judge in Arkansas has found former reality TV star Josh Duggar guilty of receiving and possessing child pornography. The 33-year-old now awaits sentencing, which could be up to 20 years in prison and about $500,000 in fines. And we would like to extend our prayers and sympathy to the family of Patrick Marsh, who passed away yesterday. Patrick Marsh was a man you may not have heard very much about, but he is the man responsible for the designing of the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum for Answers in Genesis. He served as vice president of attraction design for the Apologetics Organization since 2001. He was 77 years old. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Emails, send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. You write it, Jimmy reads it, we respond. idea@wretched.org.
Okay, this one comes from Chris, who says he's wondering if you've ever addressed the issue of women's roles in non-teaching positions in the church, like the finance committee. Yeah. Is it appropriate for a woman to chair a committee like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. If you really want a thorough list of different ways women can participate in the church and where it crosses the line in preaching or having authority, I think cbmw.org does a bang-up job. I would encourage you to go there. Just use their search engine and you'll find it. I do believe that women can play active roles in those settings. The issue that we just should all be keeping our eyes on is, does it ever cross the line of having authority over? So here's what you've got. You've got a finance committee. You've got three guys who have a difficult time using an abacus. And you've got a woman in the church who's the CFO of a corporation. Can she possibly on the finance committee? Yeah, I think she can. Could she lead the finance committee? Well, I think different Christians might have a different response to that. I think some would go, no, that's probably having authority. I think others would say, no, it's not really, because it's not preaching. It's not church disciplining. It's not trying to influence spiritually. It's just doing a task in the church. And I think we can live with each other if we have a different take on some of the different roles. They're just some church. I know churches that I esteem to be excellent, and they've made some decision about the role of women I disagree with. I don't hate them. I love them. Great, carry on, do your thing. We should be able to get along when we have disagreements on some of the finer points of the application of Paul's admonition in 1 Timothy 2. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over men. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from James. He said he was having a discussion about open-air preaching with someone in his church, and his response was that it was not a biblical form of evangelism. Oh. And he says from what he's read, it is biblical and historical, and is wondering if you have a solid defense to that.
Couple names come to mind: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jesus, John the Baptist, Paul. All did open-air preaching. Having said that, is that a mandate for us? Do we have to do that? I can't make it a law where there is no law, but we absolutely see demonstrations of open-air preaching all throughout the Bible, and I still believe it can be impactful today if done rightly. We all know how poorly it can be done. We've all seen those YouTube videos. But it can be powerful, and it can reach people who will never darken the doorstep of a church, who will never bump into a Christian who has the courage to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It encourages the saints as they walk by. Hey, look at that. That dude is up there thundering the gospel, which pleases God. Another benefit of open-air preaching, even if nobody hears it but the leaves, God is pleased that his gospel is being publicly proclaimed by an individual who loves him so much that he's willing to go out there and look the fool. So there are still benefits. People get saved from it. I was just thinking about my buddy Josh Williamson. He's in, a port in England. It is on the gorgeous, I think it's like where the Dover Cliffs are not far away from that port. Oh, it's just this little tiny village, and it's just as English on the ocean with the cliffs as you can imagine. And his church sits right on top of the bluffs overlooking the whole thing. It's so cool. And they're blessed to have him because he's an open-air preacher. 15, 17, whatever number of years ago it was, we were in downtown Atlanta together. There was a park. I can't remember the name of the park. I think it has the word port in it. Okay, so I'm stumbling over port things. And there were chess tables set up, so people were playing chess. There were people kind of walking and milling, students, civilians. And he gets up and does open-air preaching. And when he was done, two men approached him, tearfully saying, What do I do? And he helped him to understand repentance and faith. When he was done with him, the other guy stood there in the queue for about 15 minutes waiting. I'm not right with God. Open-air preaching can bear fruit. Do you have to do it? No, you're not commanded to do it. But if you're gifted with it, I would encourage you to consider it because it is thoroughly biblical. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Rebecca. And she says, Todd, I want to tell my young children that Santa isn't real because I feel like I'm lying to them. I try to avoid any actual confirmation that he's real by not even saying anything. And I feel like I'm lying by not even saying anything. And the problem is my husband has specifically said not to and let them to find out, let them find out on their own.
Okay. Might I use this as an opportunity for you, young person? You're thinking about getting married. You cannot work through enough issues in advance. Just consider the dynamic in this home. I'm not saying anybody's an evil person. Let's assume they're both saved. Dad doesn't have a problem with Santa. Mom is not nuts about it. Rightly so. Do you know that if you switch the letters around in Santa, it spells Satan? Furthermore, did you, what is, if you switch the words of Omicron, do you know what that spells, Jimmy?
Yes, I saw this.
Moronic.
Yeah, I saw this.
So nobody's evil in the home. He likes Santa. She doesn't. Think of the dynamic in that home. How many days, how many hours are they going to have to kind of tiptoe around this? That this woman is going to have to be like, Dad goes, hey, kids, what did Santa bring us this morning? And she wants to go, these gifts are supposed to represent the gift that we received from God when he gave us the gift of his son. And Santa doesn't exist. Can't do it. Feel that. Work through issues before you get, work through theological issues. It doesn't mean somebody's apostate, but it does have some practical outworkings. Work through them. Work through issues of finances and personality, expectations, the number of kids you're thinking about, where you want to live, how you want to live. What's your lifestyle like inside of the home? Do you like to take care of the lawn? Don't you? I'm telling you, they may or may not be deal breakers, but you do well to think them through before you get married. So what would I say to this woman who's right about Satan Claus? I would say, I don't think you're lying by not participating. I think in this instance, your husband is not right what he's doing, my opinion. But I would say submit to that, but talk to him about it and say, honey, dear, whatever your term of affection is, you know how I feel about this, the Santa Claus business, but I want to honor you. So I'm not going to tell them that Santa Claus is a big lie. And even though we've been lying to them for years about this, they can still trust us. Okay, maybe don't sneak that part in. But is it okay if I don't participate, if I don't say anything? So if they ask a question about Santa Claus, I can just go, ask Dad. And I'm not going to try to do it in a snarky way, but you can understand this is it's a bit of a conviction for me. Now, having said that, if you believe it is a sin, then you can't do it. Then you can't do it. I think that I would lean on the side of it's not a sin for a woman to just be silent about the Santa business because the husband wants the kids, for whatever reason, to learn about this mythical character, which is entirely anti-biblical and anti-grace-based. But if it's a sin in her heart, then she shouldn't be doing it. You never, ever, ever, ever want to override your conscience. Disagree with that? Love to hear it. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Daniel. Todd, I've been struggling recently with Roman Catholicism. I've learned lots about it and lots about what the Bible says on those topics, and I'm 99.99999% sure that it's absolutely heretical. But for some reason, there's this what if I'm wrong thought that won't go away.
Yeah, there's a powerful tug. I think we can acknowledge that without endorsing the system of Roman Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy. They both claim to be the church, the line, the historical right, external outworking of the church of the Pope, which should be the church of Christ because he's the head of the church, not a human. So I think we can recognize and maybe even feel that tug. Well, I don't want to be in the wrong church, but you need to understand what the definition of church is. It's not an expression of, it's not a denomination, and rightly so, it's not a building per se. It's all of those people who have repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ. That's the church. That's your line back to Jesus. That's your connection. The invisible church of God. This is, I think this might be a pretty uniquely Protestant doctrine. The invisible church. The reformer said it's all of the people everywhere, scattered, whatever expression of a local church they're in. If they've repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, that's the church. You're a part of it. The dead people, those saints triumphant, they're a part of the church and you're in it with them. Those who are going to be born in the future, that's the church. And they might not have a banner outside of their door, but everybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ is the church. So resist the tug and fill that hole with the knowledge you are connected to the line back to Jesus, especially if you're Southern Baptist, because then, of course, you're the line that goes all the way back to John the Baptist, or so I've been told by some Southern Baptists. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Question, do you also watch TV? All right, don't mock me. That's a legitimate question because some Christians don't, and that's okay. But I did want you to remember that Wretched is also on TV. 135 Christian networks, to be exact. Wretched TV is hosted, of course, by Todd Friel and is a daily 30-minute program containing live witnessing encounters and conversations about tough theology stuff. You can find us on TV, our website, wretched.org/TV, and also on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. And it's only possible by the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can help us continue making Wretched available to everyone and also help us in our mission to reach the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Find out how you can become a Wretched gospel partner just by visiting wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You say Edith in Romania. They say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month. 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It seems like everywhere you look, you find a survey about something these days. And of course, Wretched, we didn't want to miss out on this trend, so we conducted our own survey. Actually, I just asked a couple of people across the hall, but here are the results. When asked, what's your favorite part of Christmas? 100% of respondents said, celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no reason for Christmas. Without Christ, there's no reason for Wretched. We realize we can't do any of this without you. It wouldn't be possible to produce the content and resources that we do without the support of our gospel partners. During this time of year where we should all reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner and help us to continue reaching the lost all over the world? Just visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What might you say if you call?
1-877-282-BEEP.
This is Wretched Radio. That's the number of the old toll-free. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks can be left in that voicemail. Or, Jimmy, I almost forgot about that. I remember this when we're not on air, and now I'm we're actually on air and I'm remembering it and I'm annoyed that I didn't remember it because I want to get to testimonies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I want to spend a day. We've received some. I want a lot because I like them. Sorry to be selfish. I love testimonies. I love hearing what God is doing in the lives of other people. It is an encouragement for us. So 1-877-282-BEEP, a 58, land the plane in 2 minutes or under. This one is 58 seconds.
Hi, you asked for testimonies, so here's mine. I grew up in a Christian home. I was very good at following rules and pretty confident that I was a good person. When I was 13, I started working during my summer times at a Bible camp. And every year, we would have a pastor named Jim Osman come and teach us about evangelism using the tools from The Way of the Master.
I know Jim.
So when I was about 16 or 17, I was at the camp and thinking about how I had regularly told my campers that they were sinners in need of repentance. And one night it hit me that I was a liar and a sinner who also was in need of repentance. And that's when God saved me. I've been walking with him for over 10 years now. So, yep, that's it. Thank you guys for all your work.
No, thank you. That's, I love that. I just love that. 1-877-282-BEEP. Leave a testimony. Would love to hear it.
Hey, Mr. Friel. I have a question about The Chosen. Looking into it, not only is, you know, our Presbyterian friend think it's a second commandment violation, but also the owners of VidAngel are Mormons. And there was this quote, to have evangelical Christians and Mormons working together on the most popular show about Jesus Christ is truly a miracle. What are your thoughts? I'm not liking that feeling that I'm getting. We have no peace with Mormons. So why are we working with them on Jesus that we don't even agree on?
What are you just looking to get me wound up? The issue of ecumenism, just push that little button, boo, like a rocket. We need to have a higher bar regarding ecumenical activities. Yes, we cooperate with biblical churches. We work together for the advancement of God's kingdom. But you can't work with a body that is outside of Christian orthodoxy. That is a violation of being unequally yoked. Furthermore, it gives the impression that we're okay with what they teach. No matter how hard we try, that's what we are saying. And it appears that that is indeed the agenda, not just of VidAngel, but also the young man, is it LaHaye? The young man who's producing The Chosen Show? I think it's Jenkins or LaHaye. A kid who wasn't left behind, apparently. One of the children is the producer of it, and he's made it clear he's an evangelical who is happy to work with his brothers in the Roman Catholic Church and his brothers in the Mormon Church. That, to me, is a disqualifier. I'm not interested. I don't need what it is that you're producing. Might I glean something good from it? I could, but I don't want to be participating in that because I know that if there are Roman Catholics who are consulting and Mormons who are giving advice about the show, it's going to be leaking in bad theology, and I don't want that in my home. Question though, could you avail yourself of VidAngel? That's a tricky question, isn't it? Because this isn't just a business. This is a Mormon industry that tries to make Christian products, and they're probably never going to do anything that is overtly small O orthodox. They're probably just not going to let it through. I would imagine on The Chosen, you would never hear a clear proclamation, all your sins, past, present, future, forgiven by the God-man Jesus Christ, who's not a created being. He doesn't come from planet Kolob. He is the Messiah who died for sinners. And if you put your trust in him, all of your sins, past, present, future, forgiven. I don't think you're going to hear that, because that isn't the gospel of the Roman Catholic Church or the Mormons. So for my money, I'm not interested in the show. Don't need it. Don't want it. As far as availing myself of an organization that isn't orthodox that provides a service, probably a closer call. But I would just suggest, aren't there some really good networks out there that are alternatives? I'm thinking of AGTV and AIGTV. This is a classic problem that needs to be addressed right here, right now. You've got American Gospel TV, AGTV. You've got answers in Genesis TV, which is AIGTV. Those two parties need to get together and come up with some sort of deal. We can't have AGTV and AIGTV, both of which contain great stuff. I watch them both. I just enjoy the content that they produce, and it's safe. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Oops.
You're just so nervous about this, aren't you?
You don't know what this does to me.
Hi, Wretched Radio. My name is Allie, and I wanted to thank you so much for your content and your resources.
Wait a second. Wait.
What?
Okay, once again, just a reminder of how bad I am at this. Okay, now I'm reading the thing, the description here.
Yeah?
It just says encouragement. Is this nothing but encouragement?
I think so.
Well, I don't think that we can have that here, can we?
Hi, Wretched Radio. My name is Allie, and I wanted to thank you so much for your content and your resources. My husband and I have been feeling really convicted to do street evangelism, but have felt really unequipped. And after listening to a lot of Witness Wednesday episodes and being able to purchase some of your gospel booklets, we have felt better equipped and have been able to go to college campuses and to some mall areas and do some witnessing. We bring our one-year-old baby and people love being able to visit with him. And it has been such a sweet time for our marriage and our spiritual lives. So I want to thank you. And I want to encourage other people to make a date night out of it and go. And it's hard at first every time, but being able to work together as a team has been so encouraging. And we have had the best time doing it. Go out for dinner afterwards often. And thank you to Wretched Radio for encouraging us and equipping us.
Well, you just returned the encouragement. That's outstanding. Now, I was thinking, though, you've got a one-year-old. I don't want to suggest you use your child as a prop, but you might be able to attract people with a baby. I know Ray Comfort uses a dog to attract people to hear in the gospel. I'm just saying, you figure out how that might work, where you could use your kid to get somebody to. I'd be one of those people who stops. I'll stop for a dog. You put a baby in front of me, and let me tell you something. Your last name doesn't need to be Lindbergh. I'd like to swipe the kid. I love babies and dogs. I don't know what it is about them. Okay, the babies, they smell good. That's right. I sniffed my children, and you did too.
Sometimes.
See, well, yeah, right. Well, but you do. So either way, right. I think my point is valid. 1-877-282-B.
Oh, hey there, Todd. This is James from Canada. I got a bit of a simple, easy question for you. Up here, the vaccine mandates are a lot stronger than down there. Now, I already know if two Christians are seen differently on these matters, they can disagree on whether to take the vaccine or their own. That's fine. But what happens when you've got non-Christian friends who are near and dear to you, but you find yourself on opposite sides of the line? Should we pursue relationship, or should we cut and run and say, well, they were non-Christian, this is where we get off the bus?
Well, doesn't that question just expose how sensitive the V word? Hey, Jimmy. Yes. I'm excited. In January, we are supposedly out of the penalty box with the Facebook people.
Oh, are you sure about that?
We've been slapped on the wrist for the last year, where they've just been just killing our content, and we got. And I don't want to blow it by using the V word, and having their 20-year-olds censor us and kick us off again. The issue of V's is so intense, isn't it? That we are asking a question, and I get where it comes from. Is this an issue that I should say is a deal breaker with unbelievers? So just to demonstrate how potent this issue is, let me ask this question. You are a fan of UGA. Your neighbor loves to Roll Tide. Should you part company over that? You'd go, well, no, it's just a football team. Ditto the V. I know you've got a personal opinion about it, and it's probably as strong as mine is. But is it a deal breaker? No. They think you should buy Apple stock. you think you should buy Amazon stock. Would you break up with an unbeliever, not be friends with them because of that? No. It just shows us that this thing is powerful, and it has not only divided unbelievers and believers, it has divided believers. And I would simply encourage us to think this one through. Unless the subject has a lot of theological entanglements, we're talking about a social issue here. It's important to you, but I don't think that it's a deal breaker for Christian friends and pagan friends alike. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.